Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
You know, I realize that there are probably some people who would think that borders on blasphemous, but I just think it's funny. And here's the thing. I think there's something true about it as well, if we're honest. In the movie, a little bit later, Will Ferrell says again, his character Ricky Bobby says again, he says, I just prefer the baby Jesus. And I think if we're honest, we all do. I think we all prefer the baby Jesus. I think that's part of the reason why churches are going to be packed tonight and half empty the rest of the year. Because we all prefer the baby Jesus. We'd like to just deal with the baby Jesus. But there are some problems with that. I think there's actually a lot of problems with that. And tonight I just want to talk about two of the reasons I think we prefer the baby Jesus and why that's a problem. And so the first reason I think we prefer the baby Jesus is we prefer the baby Jesus because we sing to babies. But the problem is that this baby, Jesus, he wants to sing, well, to you. We love to sing to babies, don't we? Everybody likes to sing to babies. Like, you can have some old crotchety guy, right? Who's like one of those, when I was young. But you put his, like, baby grandson in his arms, and he's like, lullaby and good night, go to sleep, little baby. When my son was just a baby, I would sing to him, and I had something, nobody else had it, where I could, like, get him to stop crying or fall asleep instantly by singing to him. It was like my voice mesmerized him, and he would just fall asleep in seconds. There was only one problem. There was one song that he always wanted me to sing to him, the ABC song. I would just start singing ABC, and he'd fall asleep. But it gets very boring singing the ABC song all the time. So I would try other songs, like he'd be kind of cranky and have trouble falling asleep. And so I would try to sing him something else, like Metallica. I would be like, dreams of war, dreams of liars, and of dragons fire, and of things that will bite, sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. And it never worked for some reason. I'm not sure why. And so he would start crying more, and I'd be like, ABC, and he'd fall asleep. We love to sing to babies. There's just something about me. You know why we love to sing to babies? Because they're adorable, right? And you just gotta love them. It's a baby. And I think that's the deal with Jesus. We like baby Jesus because he's a baby. And he's adorable, and you just gotta love him, and you just want to sing to him because he's just a baby. But the problem is, this baby, Jesus, he wants to sing to you. Uh-oh. Because we don't like being sung to. We like singing to babies, right? But we don't like being sung to. The place you see this all the time is at restaurants when the waiter crew comes out and they sing to somebody at the table next to you or across from you. And every time, right, they come out of the kitchen, they're like, happy, happy birthday from our friendly gang. Happy birthday. We're so glad you came. And all that stuff. And what happens every time is the person getting sung to gets all flustered and they start hitting the people who are with them. Why'd you do that to me, right? Because we really don't like being sung to. When my wife and I were just started dating, we went out for my birthday for dinner, and it got very comical because three or four different times, the staff all came running out of the kitchen to sing to somebody, and they would come out clapping, and they would go to a table. It just happened over, and it was like birthday night at this restaurant. And so, like, the fourth time they came out, they come running out clapping again. Everybody's like, seriously? And so just to be funny, I start clapping with them because I know the song. And so I start clapping. Well, and this is a true story. When I went to clap, I hit my drink and brought it with me, and I clapped, and my entire drink went into my lap. And it was at that moment that I realized that they were coming to sing to me. So they all arrive at our table singing to me. I'm clapping. I got Coke draining down my legs, and I'm just like, happy birthday. I'm so glad you came. You know, we like singing to babies because they're adorable, and you just gotta love them, but we really don't like being sung to. But the problem is that this baby, Jesus, he wants to sing to you. Why? Well, it's because Jesus is God. The whole deal with Christmas is that God came down to planet Earth, took on human flesh, and became a person so that he could show us how to live and so that he could give his life for us so that we could have life. Jesus was God, and God thinks you are adorable. And God just has to love you. See, God is your father. He's your dad. And I realize that for some of us, that word doesn't have good connotations, right? And so you're like, I don't need another one of those. I got a bad one already. But he's not that kind of dad. God is a perfect, loving father. And he thinks you're adorable because you're his kid. You're his baby. And so he loves you and he just has to sing to you. Unless you think that I'm making this up and kind of getting carried away, let me show you in the Bible where it says that God wants to sing to you and sings to you. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Zephaniah chapter 3, but I will read it to you. We'll put it on the screen so you don't have to. You can just look at me because I'm looking good tonight, aren't I? Yes. I'm actually feeling a little sick, but I'm still looking good. So Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, listen to what it says. It says, "The Lord your God is with you." That's good news. "He is mighty to save." That's good. Listen to this. "He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." This verse says that God wants to sing to you, that God does. He sings over you. It's like God could be up in heaven having the worst day, like everything's gone wrong today, but then he thinks of you, and because you're his kid, he just bursts in a song. He's like, "Why must the world be made of silly love songs? But what's wrong with that? I'd like to know. So here I go again. I love," and he points at you, right? It says God sings over you. Why? The verse tells us he takes great delight in you. You're his kid. To him, you are adorable, and he just has to love you. Now, I realize that for some of us, that's almost impossible to believe, right? But that doesn't mean it's not true. And it's really good news. It's good news because we want that, don't we? We want that. We want to be adored. We want to be loved. It's just so hard for some of us to believe because we know ourselves, right? You know you. You know how messed up you really are. You might be able to put on a show for everybody else, but you know you. You know the things you've done. You know where you've been. Right? You know how ugly you are on the inside. You know the things that, the thoughts you have, the things that go through your mind that nobody else knows. And you have to assume, well, God knows all that. And so there's no way a God like that could love a person like me. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are his kid, and he adores you. He just has to love you, and he wants to sing to you. And that is good news, because we want that. We want so badly to be adored, to be loved. I mean, you look at our lives. That's what we're doing, isn't it? We're going through life trying to get people to be impressed with us, to like us, to adore us, to love us. And so half the things we do, there's no other explanation for. Right? We do everything we can to impress people at work. We do things we would never want to do to get some guy or some girl to love us. Why? Because we just want to be adored. We just want to be loved. There's something inside of us that was built for that, that was designed to be adored and loved, and it's put in you by God. And he adores you and loves you and wants to sing to you. And so it may be hard to believe, but that doesn't mean it's not true. And it's really, really good news. And so I personally believe this is the most important truth you will ever hear in your entire life. And so I pray that you'll hear this and that you'll accept it. Or maybe tonight you'll just begin to accept it. But listen to this. God loves you just the way you are. He knows. He knows what you've done. He knows who you are. He knows where you've been. But God loves you just the way you are. Okay, so we have a problem. We prefer the baby Jesus, right? And there's some problems with that. One problem is we like to sing to babies, but this baby wants to sing to us, and we need to accept God's love into our life. It's hard for us, but we need to. The second problem is this. I think we prefer the baby Jesus because we change babies. But the problem is that this baby wants to change you. When we had our first child, I had never changed a baby in my life. I'm pretty sure I'd never held a baby my entire life. And all of a sudden, we have this baby. Now, we took a class before we actually gave birth. And I didn't actually give birth. My wife did. But I was there. But we took this class and they taught you how to put a diaper on, but it is a different story when you got like a kicking, squirting baby in front of you, you know what I'm saying? And the worst changing experience I ever had in my life, and I will never forget it, happened, I think it was like 2 or 3 months into this baby's life, and my wife was out, and my baby, my son, had what we call a blowout. Now, just to make sure we have a common definition, let me explain. A blowout is when a baby goes number two with such volume and such force that the diaper literally cannot withhold it, and so it blows out. We all understand. Okay. And so he had a blowout, and so I have to change him now, and I'm all like, I can do this. I've changed the diaper now. I can handle this. Now, the real trick with a blowout is that there is, number two, all over the baby's clothes. You have to get the clothes over the head without getting the number two on the head, right? And so I'm working on that, and I'm very carefully trying to get the clothes over the head when all of a sudden my son started to go number one. And I had not put a diaper on him yet. And so not knowing what to do, this is what I did. And my hands started to fill up quickly. And pretty soon it's going all over. And I've got one and two all over my clothes. And they're all over his clothes and all over him. And so like 3 or 4 minutes later, my wife gets a call. And I said this. I said, here's the situation. There is number one and two all over everything. I am in my underwear. Your son is naked. There is one and two on his clothes, my clothes, the floor. I think there's some on the ceiling. What do I do? You know, changing a baby can be gross. Granted, it can be gross. But here's the good part. At least you're in control, right? You're in the dominant position over the baby. There's no question about that. And I think we like the baby Jesus because of that reason. As a baby, it's like, well, I'm in kind of the control position. I'm in kind of the dominant position over Jesus, right? And I realize that even as a baby, he was still like God, and so maybe he had some special powers, but I still think I could take him. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a baby, me against him, one-on-one, he's there in his swaddling clothes. What could he do? I could take baby Jesus, right? And I think we like the baby because we're in the control seat. We're in the dominant position over the baby. The problem is that this baby wants to change you. We like to change babies, and we like to be in that position, but this baby wants to change you. You know, the deal is that God is really good at changing people. It's his specialty. He's really good at taking people and their ordinary lives and making them extraordinary. He's really good at taking people's hurts and bringing healing. He's really good at changing people. But I suspect that if we were honest tonight, a lot of us would say, that scares me. Like, if I was to give God the control seat in my life, if I was to give him the dominant position in my life and let him have his way with me, that would really scare me because, well, he probably would want to change me. And I'm not sure all the ways he might want to change me. I don't know if I'd like all the things that he would want to do in my life. And so it scares us, right? It scares us, but I want to tell you, it is such good news. The fact that this baby grew up and he doesn't want to be changed, he wants to change you, it is really good news. And it's good news because God loves you. He's this loving father, and his plans for your life are good. There's a great verse where God says this in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Bible says this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And so God says, listen, I've got plans for your life. You know, I have this vision, this dream of what you could be. And it's good. My plan is to get more than what you have right now, to give you hope. It's good. I'll tell you this. The first 20 years of my life, I did not know God, did not know Jesus. The last 20 years, I have. And these 20 years have been the best 20 years of my life By far. When I first started to get to know this baby Jesus, I was scared about this very idea. I was like, man, I know he's going to want to change things. He's going to want to take things away from me that I have or I do, and I don't know if I'm cool with that, and I'm just not sure what he's going to want to do in my life. But what I have found is that God has my best interest in mind, that he loves me more than I love myself, and every single change that he's brought to bear in my life has been for my good. He has changed me so much. I've learned to try to value myself a little bit because I used to not be able to at all. I've learned not to be so harsh with people because I used to be a real jerk. And honestly, there's still a lot in my life that needs to change. You know, I need to become more patient. I've got very little. I need to let people in my life. I tend to have walls up and not let people get too close to me. And so I still need God to change me. And my suspicion is that you do too. My guess is that if you were honest, you'd say, man, there are some things in my life that I need to change. I recognize that. I know that. And God wants to change you. He's really good at it. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're someone who worries all the time. You worry about everything. It consumes you. Do you really want to spend the rest of your life like that? Maybe you've finally come to the realization that you are utterly dependent on food or some other substance. Like every time things go bad in your life, every time there's stress, you find yourself eating. And it's like, why is this what I turn to? Well, you don't have to be like that for the rest of your life. Even if you have in the past, it doesn't have to stay that way because God is really good at changing people. Maybe for you it's a relational thing. Maybe you have relationships with people, or maybe there's this certain person, and it's an important relationship, but the only way that you seem to be able to deal with each other is through fighting and yelling and arguing. And that needs to change, right? God is really good at changing people, and that is really good news. Because we need to change. And so listen, and I hope you hear and accept this. God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. Isn't that good news? God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you way too much to leave you that way. And so what God wants to do is he wants to bring some change to your life. And he can do that. If you'll let him. He can do that because he's really good at changing people. And he has a great plan for your life. So listen, I realize that for most of us, the reason you come to a Christmas Eve service is because it's kind of part of the holiday, right? We come because it's part of Christmas, is going to church, is what you're supposed to do. And maybe it's kind of nice to sing some carols and it kind of gives you a good feeling. But my prayer is that maybe this Christmas will be more than that. That maybe this Christmas Eve, instead of it just being, yeah, we went to church and I can check that off my list and it was good, it was fun, it was inspiring, that maybe this will be the Christmas that for the rest of your life you'll look back and say, that was the day my life started to change. How cool would that be? Seriously. Like, what if today you made a decision, from now on, I'm not going to just deal with the baby Jesus. Instead, I'm going to let Jesus sing to me. I'm making a decision tonight that I want to let God's love into my life because I need to be loved and adored. What if you made a decision tonight, from now on, I'm not going to just deal with the baby Jesus. Instead, I'm going to let Jesus change me because I know God loves me just as I am, and I like some things about me, but there are some things that need to change. And so it may scare me a little bit to give God control, but I'm going to trust that he loves me more than I love me, that he knows better than I do. And so I'm going to let him have his way with me and see what kind of changes he can bring in my life as I partner with him in that process. And that could be really cool. And I realize you didn't come in here to make any big decisions, and I can't make you. But my prayer is that today would be a day, that this Christmas would be a Christmas that would change your life forever. You know, if God sent Jesus and Jesus came just so we could have a nice holiday and exchange gifts and have a nice warm feeling singing Christmas carols on Christmas Eve, that's kind of ridiculous, right? If Jesus gave his life for that, there's more to it than that. God sent Jesus. Christmas is all about the fact that God loves you and wants to pour his love into your life. And God loves you and wants to help you to change, become an even better version of you. And that all starts with a decision. It starts with you making a decision. So I'm gonna pray for you for that right now. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for Christmas. And it is great to have, you know, a time in the year where there's just joy and your steps a little lighter and people exchange gifts and they smile at each other and you sing Christmas carols, and that's all very good. And I'm glad we got to do that tonight. But God, Christmas has to be more than that. You didn't send Jesus just for that. God, I pray that this Christmas, for some of us, maybe would be the first Christmas ever that we really look at it from a standpoint of, how can this change my life? How can Jesus coming and the celebration of his birth change my life? And God, maybe some of us have a decision to make. Maybe it's to let your love into our life. Maybe it's to let you change us. Maybe it's to start coming to church regularly instead of just Christmas Eve of saying, I need to be here to learn what God has for me and to get to know God better. God, would you help us to take that next step closer to you? And thanks for sending Jesus for us. We pray in his name.